Good morning, everyone. We're continuing with our series, Cultivating Spiritual Practices, and this week we're thinking about Sabbath. And the readings are from Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, and Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. I've just been down to the paddock at the end of our garden to treat the horses with an apple. Today, rather than trotting over to me, they looked at me and carried on munching the grass. Come on, guys, I thought, this is a treat for you. Why aren't you enjoying it? I think God might have been feeling much the same with me over the last few years as I've explored Sabbath. I suspect he longed for me to stop what I was doing, good though it may have been, and come over to him, ready to delight in the gift of Sabbath he has for me. This week we've challenged the children and young people to cram as many objects as they can into a single matchbox. I wonder if the last 18 months has taught you how much we can cram into our lives. It certainly has me. There's an infinite expanse of things to watch, listen to, read and learn. The sheer amount of pursuits and knowledge we have at our disposal is colossal, even as the world shut down for the pandemic. Even our hobbies and leisure pursuits can be exhausting. And I'm not so great with choice. I'm more of a both-and kind of person. I'd rather check out 15 shops rather than buy the first thing I see, just in case there's a better deal. I find it immensely difficult to take a rest while there's a job that needs to be done, a room that needs tidying, an email to send, a phone call to make. I tend to keep going until I have to stop because I'm exhausted. So I'm talking about Sabbath as someone who gets just how difficult it is to carve out time. I've been on this journey of practicing Sabbath for a year or so now, despite God prompting me for much longer. And whilst it takes time to get into the rhythm, Sabbath is now something I can't imagine life without. And I know a growing number of colleagues are exploring this spiritual practice, as are some of you. It does take time and preparation to be able to stop work for a day. The practice of Sabbath might on one hand seem easy, in that it involves doing not a lot, and maybe it could seem so easy that we don't consider it important. The end of Genesis chapter 1, in reading into chapter 2, says, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. When God created animals, the Bible tells us that they were good. And when God made humans, they too were very good. Yet the seventh day is not just good or very good, it is holy, hallowed, sanctified, consecrated, imbued with grace. The word holy comes from two root Latin words meaning sacred space and refuge. Sabbath is a gift, a time to receive and enter into God's realm, set apart from worldly chronological time. Did you notice God creates humanity on day six, and the first thing they do on day seven is they rest? God has built rest into the fabric of creation. Our minds and bodies are to work from a place of rest, of nourishment. It's not that rest is what we do when we have accomplished our tasks and need a break. Medics recognise too that we are wired physiologically and biologically on a 7-day circadian rhythm, which has implications for drug treatments and organ transplants. But Sabbath rest is not simply for physical and psychological benefits, it goes much deeper. In our 2021, our identity is completely wrapped up with what we achieve and consume. Society measures our worth on our ability to perform. Life in the 21st century is intense, and if it's not, then we feel like we're doing something wrong. We admire people who can keep lots of balls in the air. Perhaps this is one of the positive issues to come out of the pandemic. We are beginning to slowly shift our values, less bound by the need to be busy as a status symbol. The paradox is we complain about too many demands on our time and yet feel uneasy when life isn't busy. We're so caught up with proving our worth. Matthew 6 encourages us not to worry about food, drink, clothes, But it's not just the pagans who run after these things. We're called to be different, seeking God's kingdom first, not when we have all these things neatly sorted. A godly rhythm starts with Sabbath rest, where we discover that God has all these other things covered. As verse 32 says, he knows we need these things. And in God's presence, we discover that we are justified by grace, not worthiness. Sabbath rest is a gift, not a reward. The Message paraphrase of Matthew 18, 28 to 30 reads, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. God doesn't call us to an easy life, but he does promise that his burden is easy. This doesn't mean our circumstances will be easy, but rather when our souls are properly rested, our capacity to be at peace, to fulfil his plans will be easy. Jesus kept a regular rhythm of rest. Jesus. God himself knows the unforced rhythms of grace, and I suspect it's one of those things that attracted people to him. There were always going to be more people he could heal, people who needed to hear about God's love. And yet, he knew the need to take time out. That's why he could say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we choose to take a Sabbath rest, we discover that the world goes on without us. It's precisely because we feel pressure to carry on that we need to stop, to reorientate our lives around the one who created us and knows how we are made to tick, rather than how our culture calls us to live. Rest is not to fuel us, but to recognise it's God who is in charge, God who sustains us, God who gives meaning to our lives. On the face of it, Sabbath rest is apparently useless, yet its spiritual significance lies in the dependence on God and his grace to provide. It guards us from centering our thoughts on our own achievement and productivity. God commands that we take a Sabbath, alongside not worshipping other gods, not murdering or stealing. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The commandments are not so much a list of do's and don'ts, but a way of being. This is who you are called to be, says God. This is how I've created you. This is how you can get the best out of your life, by living this way. You won't have life in all its fullness if you're not being this kind of people together. Holidays and hobbies are great, but they don't necessarily include the one who can provide complete nourishment, the one who sustains all living things, the one who calls us to find our meaning in his love and not in our own accomplishments. That's why Sabbath is not simply a day to do nothing. It is a time to stop, to rest, but also a day to delight in God and contemplate him. Sabbath is no longer a day of rest for the vast majority of Jesus' followers. Many Christians go into overdrive and are often at their busiest on a day meant for stopping work, rest, enjoyment of God's creation and contemplation. Church services have become more and more elaborate and attractional, and it isn't just clergy who are exhausted. It was difficult in Jesus' day too. That's why the Jews created a whole list of rules regarding the Sabbath. The disciples got into trouble for picking ears of corn on the Sabbath. Not that there was any rule against snacking, but there were rules about not working. Jesus got into trouble on many occasions for healing on the Sabbath, in Luke 13, John 5 and John 9. Helpful guidelines became a straitjacket. Jesus brings common sense in Mark 2, 27. He says, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So what does a Sabbath rest look like? The answer is different for different people. It's not the same as leisure time, but an oasis of unmeasured, unhurried time. A time to celebrate God when he has our attention. A time to stop, to cease, to enjoy creation and God's provision. Time for relationships with family, friends and with God, and letting go of the need to be in charge. This might involve a walk or some light gardening for some, or a coffee with a friend for another. It is certainly giving time to nurture our souls and cultivate some of the spiritual practices that we've been thinking about over recent weeks. Sabbath will involve some trial and error, and what you do during the 24-hour period will change over time. It's important not to become legalistic about it. Maybe reading a psalm together as a family would help to mark the time as sacred. I know some who Sabbath Friday evening to Saturday afternoon. They light a candle and eat together. There are no phones or TV. Maybe they get an early night and spend Saturday doing, well, not a lot. Sabbath is a time of mindfulness when we slow and notice with reverence what God has made. When we savour the little things and delight in God's creation. It's a period with no agenda other than spending time with God, friends and family, when we cease work and reflect on God's provision. God might have been resting on the Sabbath, but he also wasn't doing nothing. The Sabbath wasn't the day to himself, a day not to care, to stop being in charge, to stop being God. God's power carries on sustaining creation. Sabbath is not a day to switch off from who we are, but to discover exactly who we are, naked before God. On the very first day of rest, God saw that it was good. He must therefore have been enjoying creation, maybe watching the animals as they basked in the sun, or Adam and Eve delighting in the garden he'd made. And we're told that God blesses the earth. Blessing literally means to invoke divine favour, to look favourably upon it. God was observing what he had made and enjoying it. We too need to stop and take notice, and we can't do this when we're rushing. And God wasn't alone. His rest was taken in community. Father, Son and Holy Spirit, three in one, an indescribable communion of beings enjoying rest together. Sabbath is for relationships between us and God and our fellow humans. Barbara Brown Taylor writes, Sabbath is the great equaliser. When the bank manager and the cashier are both lying on picnic blankets in the park, it's hard to tell them apart. It's noticeable that this fourth commandment is also the longest. Just in case there's any doubt, God is clear. You shall not work, neither your family, nor your servants, nor anyone else living with you, even your animals. He knows how we like to talk ourselves around something. The fourth commandment is also the linchpin. The first three deal with God, and the remainder deal with our relationships with others. By applying this commandment to our lives, the rest flow more naturally. I know when I stop and watch my own children, sleeping, playing, or simply enjoying each other's company in an unhurried way, are special times. Do we deny God this pleasure in us when we don't stop and take a Sabbath rest? Are we so caught up in society's need for more, believing the lies that our worth comes from what we achieve? We're called to display different priorities, lives that confront others with good news. Sabbath is surely good news. We are called to model it, to pass this gift on to our 24/7 society. It speaks loudly. When we come to work from a place of rest, we find our priorities straightened and we're undoubtedly much kinder people. I'm looking forward to hearing on the 27th of June when we meet together how we're cultivating these spiritual practices, including Sabbath, so that they become part of our everyday Jesus-centred lives. Let's finish with a prayer entitled Psalm 23 for Busy People. The Lord is my pace setter, I shall not rush. He makes me stop and rest for quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness which restore my serenity. He leads me in the ways of efficiency through calmness of mind, and his guiding is peace. Even though I have a great many things to accomplish each day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timelessness, his all-importance, will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of activity. By anointing my mind with his oils of tranquility, my cup of joyous energy overflows. Surely harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours. For I shall walk in the pace of my Lord, and dwell in his house forever. Amen.